Yes.
David Cassidy.
How are you?
I'm okay.
You found me. We found each other.
Yes.
Great. You have a little talk, or?
Yeah, I can talk. I'm in the lobby. Unfortunately, all the phones in this hotel have gone out, which is even more bizarre.
You're in Detroit?
I'm in Detroit. And
somebody probably mugged the phone system or something.
The owner someplace. I don't know what the name of this place is. I'm not in Detroit. No one ever is in Detroit when they're in Detroit. They're in one of the...
And that's a good thing.
Outer boroughs. Yeah, and that's a very good thing.
I have a friend that worked in Detroit for a while last year.
I worked in downtown Detroit about 9 years ago. Actually, 10 years ago now. Wow. And it was frightening.
It's a rough town.
It's a very rough town.
Hey, the Orioles were there last night. You should have gone over to the game.
Oh, I wish I could have.
Yeah,
get in.
Tiger Stadium, the best ballpark in the country, and they're going to rip it down. It's terrible.
I'm going to get to sing the national anthem the last night.
Where is that?
Baltimore.
You're singing the national anthem Friday?
Yeah.
Or Sunday?
Sunday. Whatever the last game is.
You're singing the national anthem Sunday?
Yeah.
That is so cool.
It is cool.
I mean, it's packed. It's such a big deal here.
Well, I can only tell you that I've been a baseball fan all my life, and I remember when, you know, Frank Robinson played there and Brooks Robinson played there, and I was always growing up. I grew up around New York, so when I was a kid, I was a Yankee fan, and the Orioles were always the team that, you know, we had to beat. And I when I moved out to the West Coast, began, I guess, getting a different perspective about baseball, and in the last 10, 15 years, I have a real soft spot in my heart for all of those old parks, and, you know, maybe it's that we're all trying to hold on to some of the old values in life, but there's a part of me that's going to be really sad to see.
I'm going
to
cry like a baby, to be quite honest.
Well, it's going to be, hopefully, I think I'm going to be singing the anthem. They told me that I haven't had confirmation about it out here, but they told me they wanted me to, and I said I would like to, so... I think that's going to happen because I play whatever, it's the night before.
We play the night after.
Yeah.
On Monday.
That's right. And I'm on Sunday night then.
Right.
Now, is that the last game?
Yeah, that is. It's yep. 2 o'clock game.
That's what I'll be doing.
That's wild.
Yeah, pretty wild.
So how these...
It's an afternoon game?
Yeah, it's a 2 o'clock game.
Uh-huh.
How's the tour coming along?
Oh, it's great. It's going really well.
Now, is Danny opening all the dates, or...?
Well, he hasn't done all of them, but he's done most of them, and I'm trying to get him to do most all of them now. I think he's going to be able to do the rest of this leg of his tour. The next couple of weeks, we've announced for about 2.5-3 weeks.
Yeah, I was up in Hershey the week before you got there. I was kind of saddened because I really wanted to see you, but I was there the Saturday before instead of the Saturday of. So
yeah, it was good, man. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I read your quote of yours somewhere. You said there were like thousands of people there. Is that the biggest show you've done so far?
We did a show, 4,000, I think. 8,000. We did a couple of. It's the biggest venue I think we've played. We played a couple of 3,000 seaters. Sold out show in Kitchener. That was about 3,200. I think I'd play one more date that's going to be 3,500. But yeah, I've been trying to play large clubs, small theaters.
The place you're playing here Monday is about 250 people.
250?
Yeah.
No.
It's a tiny, tiny little room.
You're kidding.
No. It's almost like a row house. It's really cool.
Wow. Oh, that's interesting. I've not played a place that small. I think the smallest place we played was like 600.
No, this place is tiny.
Wow. Well, you know, it's funny because they just added this date, the Baltimore date, just like about a week ago. Something like that.
Well, the Bayou in Washington doesn't seat much more than that. The Bayou's only...
560.
Yeah, 500.
Uh-huh. Something like that.
Yeah, and that's Thursday.
I've heard about the Bayou, though. I've heard about this club in Baltimore.
Bayou's a very cool club.
Yeah.
The place you're playing in Baltimore is great, too. So.
Pardon me?
The place you're playing in Baltimore is great.
Oh, cool. Well, part of me going out and doing this tour, it's like I'm trying to play grassroots kind of places and play a place where it has a sense of intimacy. I'm not sure 250 people is really what I had in mind, though.
Well, I mean, the people are, you know, right in front of you.
Yeah.
You'll be able to put your right arm out and just touch someone, you know. It's that close.
That's
so.
Cool. Well, that's the kind of the way I played a club in Jacksonville the other night. It was about 600 people that was like that, you know. And it was really an interesting day. It was one of the I never had a chance to play those kind of venues.
Yeah, where did you play when you did tour last?
I played the Memorial when I was in Baltimore. Do you have a downtown? There's a convention center or a Memorial Coliseum?
No, the Civic Center.
Civic Center.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I played there.
You were playing basically you were an arena tour.
Oh yeah.
Destiny tour. Oh man, I know how popular you were. I just don't.
In stadiums, I played some of those too. So yeah, I mean, I still got the biggest building that people were playing in those days.
Is it a big way down to fall into little clubs or?
Pardon me?
Is it a big way to fall down into little clubs?
Oh, it's not
clubs?
A fall at all. It's a start up from like, you know. I never ended up playing. I stopped playing up there, and left it for 15 years. I mean, I'm not embarrassed or humiliated or anything about my success now. I'm proud of it. You know, I'm proud to be one of the acts who can go out now and have a musical presence who made records 20 years ago and who's still, you know, making records. And you know, I can't. I'm the antithesis of that. You know, for me to go out and to be able to play in a club or in a small theater and to get the kind of response I've been getting is like, it's amazing to me. I like the fact, I mean, nothing we do is taped. There's no samples. Everything is live. And when you see it all, anything can happen any night. You see an act go out like that now, no one got to see me play like that before. So for me, it's really like a rebirth. It's exciting. It's, you know, like a grassroots thing. I'm not sure I'll be able to economically play these kinds of places again, but I'm happy to be able to go out and do this like this. It's something I almost always wanted to do. Give people a real opportunity to see me. It's, you know, kind of like that you're real. That you really can do it. I can really cut it.
You know, what's your record company situation?
I'm about to sign with another record company in about 2-3 weeks.
A major? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because what happened with the Enigma situation? I mean, did you know they were going belly up?
I got into litigation with me about that, and I'm in litigation with them, and I can't comment on it, but they went out of business, and there is an obligation that is still outstanding to me, and I'm trying to settle with them out of court and not have to take them, and they have to take them. And it's an ugly, very unfortunate mess that, you know, had I just crawled back into my sort of my own cocoon and said, well, screw it. You know, I chose to look at the positive things. I had a top 20 record in America with a company going out of business, and that's next to impossible.
Nobody was pushing it. It was just on your name alone. If you hadn't been popular,
I worked my ass off. I went to 112 radio stations myself and flew all over the United States. Was in 3 and 4 cities a day, and I promoted the record with one promotion man. And I, unfortunately, where it fell apart was that they had no sales force, so they didn't have product in the stores.
You were your own radio rep, too. Nobody was working radio for you.
Well, I was doing, I had some people that were helping me because they knew that the record was a hit. And, you know, people that were fans of mine and liked me and believed in it and saw how hard I was working and said, you know, gotta put this guy's record on. And I got some support from some of the stations that knew that there weren't product in the stores. I knew that it couldn't legitimately be a big record, that there's no way you can compete with a major label. My entire retail budget for the United States of America was $6,000. CBS spends that in one record store on Sunset Boulevard for one artist. You know, you can't even compare it. Like, how well did you do? Well, then I did better than anybody could have done, I think.
You don't even know how many albums it sold, do you?
No, they won't even give me a statement on that, and I don't even think they know. So, you know, I'm sure it's an irrelevant amount of records, a couple hundred thousand probably, but even at that, you know, they didn't have product in the stores, and I don't even look at it. I can't compare, like, my sales. I had a company going out of business. So, who knows how many it could have sold.
No, with your upcoming label, which you can't comment on who this is going to be?
Yeah, once I get this thing straightened with Capital EMI, I can talk about it. And it's also a good thing not to talk about something until you put your ink on that contract.
Right, right.
It's always good not to jinx it.
Are you working on new material for a new album, or are you going to be released?
Oh, I have been over the last 10, 11 months. I've been ready.
All right.
So,
how many people do you have in your band?
5 plus me, so...
6, yeah, because I saw you on Arsenio last year.
Yeah.
I just happened, you know, upon it, because I never watch Arsenio. But...
That band is out with me now.
Okay. All right, I ran across a very strange incident, and I need you to fill in the last details. I was in San Diego about 6 weeks ago, and they gave you some crazy morning wake-up call and wanted you to play, like, at Dunkin' Donuts. Do you remember this?
What is this?
I was in San Diego, and I was driving towards Los Angeles listening to the radio.
6 weeks ago?
Yeah, about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and they gave you a morning wake-up call at, like, 8 in the morning, and they wanted you to come out and play at Dunkin' Donuts or something. And they brought a guy to your door of your hotel room.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
What happened? Because I lost the radio station going up towards L.A.
That was about 6 months ago.
Oh, they must have been replaying it.
Oh, really?
What happened?
Yeah. That was even longer than that. That was 10 months ago. Wow.
They must have just done, like, a rebroadcast of it then.
Yes, they did.
Because I heard it the end of August.
It was hysterical.
Did you go out and play a coffee house or something?
Well, I was in town doing promotion with the radio station. That's what I was there to do, to promote my record.
Okay.
And it was a promotional thing, you know, a wild morning, wacky morning guy idea. And there were literally, you know, 300-400 people in the parking lot of Dunkin' Donuts waiting for me.
So you played at the Dunkin' Donuts?
No, I didn't play there. I drove through there and waved at them. No, I did not play at the Dunkin' Donuts. No, they were actually all there, and they ended up coming over to the radio station, following us over there. And I played all the songs off my new album.
It just sounded very wild.
It was pretty wild.
Because, I mean, I heard it, and I thought it was happening as...
Well, had you been in any other of the 111 other radio stations I had been on, they would have been equally as wild and zany. You know, we did all kinds of wacky things. I did some fun stuff with Mark and Brian, too, in L.A.
Right, now they're the ones that gave you the original push?
Well, those are the guys that called me, and I ended up getting a deal as a result of being on their show. I played a couple of the demos that I've been writing. And no one knew who they were, of course, outside of Los Angeles, but now that they have the lowest rated television show.
No, I heard the album last year, and like I said, I saw you on Arsenio. It's just so much different from anything you were, you know, accustomed to.
Well, people thought of me and the stuff that I did on the television.
Yeah, somebody from the New York Daily News or somebody last week said you provided a whole generation of music to get braces by. So, I mean, how's the next album going to differ? I mean, what can you say about that for people that didn't even hear the Enigma album?
Glimpse of more the direction I'm going to go. I wouldn't say it depicts exactly where it's going to go, but I'm going to do a little more soulful, kind of bluesy. I'm a singer who can, I don't know if this goes that well for me, but I like to sing different styles. I think I can pull it off. I'm somebody who has, I like to sing different kinds of stuff. I'm not just a guy who likes rock and roll. I'm not a guy who just likes pop. I've had a lot of different influences in my life, and I think that I'm going to make a record that varies a little more. I'm sorry that more people didn't get a chance to hear that record, because I think there's a lot of good stuff on it. But
well, how much over the past 18 years or 15 years or whatever it was from when you stopped playing until you started playing, did you just pick up a guitar and strum?
Oh, I made an album in 85 and did a tour there that did very well in England when I lived there. I've been writing.
It wasn't like you closeted music forever then.
No, not at all. In fact, I just chose not to do it professionally. I also sang and worked on stage and in the theater and done, come back into the public's eye and, you know, can have a career doing it. I'd never stop singing. I'd never stop playing.
Right.
So.
Sean Cassidy's your brother, right? Half-brother?
Yeah.
What's he doing with himself? I just want to put it in the story because I think people are interested.
He's writing and producing in Los Angeles now. He's got a movie that he's written called Strays.
He was on General Hospital for a while, wasn't he?
Pardon me?
He was on a soap opera for a while?
Oh, about 5 years
ago. Yeah, that's the last time I saw him, so I didn't know how long ago it was.
Boy. Yeah, he's done a lot of theater as well. He worked all over the place in the theater. He's not acting really anymore. He's got a new movie, Strays, that he's written and produced that's going to be on, it's a first-run feature film for the USA Network, which will be on in December.
Oh, great. And he's going to be acting it or just producing it?
No, he just wrote it and produced it.
Okay. Yeah. Now, see, I'm 23, so I am of the age that I saw Sean in concert in Baltimore.
Oh.
At the Civic Center.
I'd say 23, you're probably too young for me.
And I remember that. No, but I remember the Partridge Family the last
rerun.
Two seasons. I remember the last two seasons, and then heavy reruns.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a big rerun fan.
A lot of people coming to see the show, you know, and even younger.
Well, I mean, reruns were just, you know, it keeps everything alive. I mean, Gilligan's Island, I went up, and Bob Denver and those kind of people were signing autographs, and, like, there were still 10-year-old kids there, you know.
Right. But if you're making records, those records aren't available to people in reruns. You know, the people that know my songs and the material really know them from the first 5 years. People from the reruns don't really know the songs much.
I have the album.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They weren't available, though, after 75 or so.
Right. So. You're going to go out and get the Partridge Family album on CD.
Right.
Right.
You go get the CD, and you only get the greatest, what they termed the greatest hits. So, people that are really into the... And have been fans a long time. Well, I think on the early albums, I'm doing some of the early album material for the first time.
And how many of the old songs are you doing?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't counted them. I'm mixing a lot of the old with the new. I'm mixing.
Is it like three or is it like substantial 8 to 10?
I would say it's more like 50-50.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm doing like half and half.
So you doing stuff like I'll Meet You Halfway and Albuquerque and stuff like that? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really looking forward to the show.
My
girlfriend is like your biggest fan in the whole world. And actually, I must admit that I was a huge fan of yours in the late 70s when I saw the reruns. And
thank you.
In fact, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I took the album cover and I took it to my hair cutter when I was like 10 years old. I said,
give me one of those.
I said, I want a haircut just like David Cassidy.
You wouldn't surprise me,
yeah, I'm sure.
Every place I've ever been, that someone cuts hair, says, you know that how many times I've had people bring pictures of you in.
Who cut your hair?
a guy who cut my hair is no longer cutting hair, and he created that hairstyle, put it on me, and
you're grateful for it.
Well, you know, I dug it at the time, and you know, I have very little to do with it, so it just worked. I wanted to look like a rock guy, you know.
Yeah. Are you going to hang out at the game on Sunday?
Well, I'm going to do my best. I don't know what else they've got planned for me, you know. I'd love to be able to stay and see the game. Well, being a baseball fan, it's going to be an emotional afternoon and one that I'm really proud. I hope that I'm indeed going to be able to make it and be able to. I'm not going to be there the night before. I'm going to be doing a concert somewhere else. I don't exactly remember where I am.
Yeah, I don't even have your...
I'm going to have to drive or fly or somehow. I hope I can make it by game time. So, just sit here.
All right.
Okay, man.
Take care.
Enjoy the show.
All right, great.
Bye.
Bye.